Book of Ruth, we're in chapter 3 this week. Let's pray as we come to the passage. Father, your word guides us and leads us. And Lord, the world is behind us because we don't belong to the world. We belong to you. And your word tells us who you are and how we should live. And Lord, I pray that our eyes would be open to what your word says today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So there are some passages in the Bible that when you read them, especially if it's for the first time and you're not real familiar with the passage, you just say, what is going on here? It seems kind of weird. And the reason some passages in the Bible seem weird is because it was 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago that it was written. Culture was different. Countries are different. I mean, today, if you go to a different country, you're going to experience some things that are very different from what happens in the U.S. And I was thinking about it this week as we're looking at this particular passage. And I wonder if you took people from Bible times and brought them today. I wonder what they would think of us. Like, why do these people sit inside of their homes and look at this big rectangular box on the wall for hours? And, you know, why do families, when they sit at, you know, go out to dinner and sit at the table, instead of talking to each other, they do this? Or walk around and bump into things. Well, what are they doing? You know, why does someone go to a Patriots game and, you know, paint his head silver or something like that? I've never done that. I'm not that guy, but there is a guy that you see on TV who does that. So cultures are different, so we got to respect that. But the passage that we're going to look at today, there's a cultural thing that's going on that's different, but there may be something going on that there's maybe some advice that's inappropriate. And now that I have your attention, yes, inappropriate things happen in the Bible. Sinful things happen in the Bible. God records it. But we're also going to see how God works through it, and we're going to see how godly decisions are made. Because whatever time you live in, whether you live 3,000 years ago or today, you're going to have choices to make. And you're going to have interactions with other people. And you're going to have to either choose to do what God wants you to do or not. And sometimes it's hard to figure out, what does God want me to do? Lord, what do you want me to do? So this passage today is going to help us with that. So I need to do a little review, and I know I keep putting my charts up here, and I'm going to keep putting them back up. But I want to go over a couple more things as I show this to you. So the book of Ruth begins with a family. And we have Elimelech and Naomi, the husband and wife. We have their sons, Mahlon and Chilion. And actually, before the sons are born, Elimelech and Naomi are Israelites who move from Bethlehem to the country of Moab because there's a famine in Israel. All right? So here's Israel. Here's Moab over here. The reason they move is because they can't find food. But I just want to tell you this. As we look at this, as we look at Elimelech and Naomi, this is not a good choice. Because God gave his people the promised land. That's why it's called the promised land. He promised it to them. And they are supposed to stay in the promised land and trust that he will provide. So the move to Moab wasn't necessarily a good choice. But as we know from God, God continues to work through all of our choices. He is at work in all of them. And not to give us license to make bad choices and say, oh, whatever, doesn't matter. You know, God's going to work it all out anyway. No, that's not what we want to do. We want to follow God's leading. But that choice from Elimelech and Naomi wasn't necessarily a good choice. And then we see once they're in Moab that Elimelech dies. And then the boys, the sons, get married to women from Moab, which actually they weren't supposed to do. But again, God works through that situation, Ruth and Orpah, and then the two sons die, and as I've explained in past weeks, this leaves three women as widows. In the ancient world, this was a very difficult place to be. They're essentially homeless. And as the story goes on, we see that Ruth and Naomi are connected, and they go back to Israel. That was a good choice. But you also see Naomi giving some advice to Ruth and Orpah along the way. She tells Ruth and Orpah, go back to your people. Go back and find husbands among your own people. And on the surface, that looks like kind advice. And maybe she does have a kind heart about it. But she also says something to them that isn't so good. She says, go back to your own gods. No, don't do that. And, you know, to sum up what Ruth says, she says, no way. I'm not doing that. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. She's not going to do that. And so Naomi drops it and Orpah goes back. And we don't know what happens with Orpah. But they end up going back to Israel. So they make the trip back to Bethlehem, just south of Jerusalem. And then Boaz comes into the picture. And here's where I got to just review again. I know not all of you have been here each week, but just to explain what was going on in the ancient world and what went on in Israel is that if a woman was married and her husband died, then it was required that the next closest relative marry that woman. And I know that sounds weird, but as I explained last week, it was an act of kindness to make sure that woman was provided for. And if that next closest relative was not available, maybe he was already married, maybe he was poor himself, he couldn't afford to buy that land or anything like that, it would go to the next relative and then on to the next relative. And again, this is one of those things culturally, we look at that and you say, that is weird, right? But that's how the culture was, and it was actually designed to protect women and to provide for women. So we have a relative of Elimelech, and by extension, if you're related to Elimelech, you're related to his son, right? That just makes sense, right? Anybody who's related to my dad is also related to me, okay? So this guy, Boaz, is related to Mahlon in some way. We don't know if it's a cousin or some distant relative, but he's not the next one in line. Naomi wants Ruth to get married to Boaz so that both Ruth and Naomi will be provided for. And so this is where we come to chapter 3, and this is where we come to Naomi's advice. So we're in chapter 3, verse 1. It said, one day Ruth's mother-in-law, Naomi, said to her, my daughter, I must find a home for you where you will be well provided for. Now Boaz, with whose women you have worked, is a relative of ours. Tonight he will be winnowing barley in the threshing floor. Wash, put on your perfume, and get dressed in your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor, but don't let him know you are there until he has finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying, then go and uncover his feet and lie down. He will tell you what to do. So I just want to tell you, as a pastor, when you read this, and then you say to yourself, I got to preach about this on Sunday. How am I going to bring this to God's people? First of all, there's a biblical concept of Ruth needs to make it known that she is ready to be redeemed. And this is a strange concept, I know. But to be married. And that's part of this picture here. But the question is the way that Naomi tells her to go about it, is this the right way? Is this the godly way? And I would say I'm not really sure that it is. I personally wouldn't tell my daughter to do this. I don't care what century I live in. That is not what I would do. And let me explain what's going on too. So this is at the end of the harvest. So if you're in the farming community, it means you have worked all spring to plant. You've cultivated your food all summer. You've harvested it in the fall. And at the end, when you have your harvest, and that's where he is, the threshing floor, that's where they separate the good kernels, the edible kernels from the straw and everything else. That's what he's doing. And he is going to sleep there to protect his grain, to protect what he has. But this is a celebration. This is a party. And it was not common for women to go to this. And so she is being told to go down here in the middle of the night. And so I'll let you judge whether Naomi is giving good advice there. But her heart is right in the sense that she believes that Ruth and Boaz should be married, and she is trying to encourage that to happen. And picking it up here in verse 5, it says, I will do whatever you say, Ruth answered. So she went down to the threshing floor and did everything her mother-in-law told her to do. When Boaz had finished eating and drinking and was in good spirits, he went over to lie down at the far end of the grain pile. Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled the man. He turned, and there was a woman lying at his feet. Who are you? He asked. I am your servant Ruth, she said. Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you are a guardian redeemer of our family. And that word guardian redeemer can also be translated kinsman redeemer. You're a person who's in line to be married. She is letting him know that she is willing to be married if he will take her. And obviously, this is kind of a strange way to do it. And I just want to tell you something here. I think Naomi has given marginally bad advice here, because she is sending Ruth over to this guy's place in the middle of the night, and we don't know what he's going to do. What we can say about Naomi is maybe Naomi trusts Boaz's character and Ruth's character so much that she doesn't think twice about it. But it seems like a really strange thing to do. And in this case, it's possible that Boaz could take advantage and tell her to leave in the morning. He could do something inappropriate here. He could do something ungodly. But I'm going to tell you about these two people, Ruth and Boaz. These are godly people. And we're going to read about this. These people love the Lord. If I had two more kids, I might name them Ruth and Boaz. I'm not. We're done. Okay? And I don't know if I could get Boaz by Christy. I don't think she would go for that name. But this is what the response to this situation is. And when she says, cover me with the bottom of the blanket, what she's saying is, I want to be under your care and your protection. That's what Ruth is saying. And so in verse 10, it says, the Lord bless you, my daughter, he replied. This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All the people of my town know that you're a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of your family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do his duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning. So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. And he said, no one must know that a woman came to the threshing floor. Okay, so just sorting through this whole thing here. So Boaz has the opportunity to maybe make a bad choice, to do something that doesn't please God, or to make a good choice. And I love what he calls her. Lord bless you, my daughter. And that's the phrase that started my brain going all week this week. Some parts of this passage, parts of this book of Ruth have led me to have tears in my eyes as I've been reading through it the last few weeks, just to see the way God works through people's lives and to see the character, especially of Ruth and Boaz. But he starts by saying, my daughter. And it's an expression of respect. And if you read like in 1 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, you treat older women as mothers. You treat younger women as sisters. And recognize we're all part of God's family. So this woman here that's come to see me at night, this is God's daughter. And I start to think about that name, daughter. And I have a daughter. And I just started to think about her. And I started to think about, she was my first child, even though we've adopted older kids since, but she was the first person to call me dad, which is exciting. And I can still remember that day, sitting in the living room floor, she looked up and said, Dada, is that one of the best days of your life? And just such a beautiful thing. And I just think about her, and I started to think about the things that we do together, and I started to think about the ways that I care about her. And you know, the other day Caleb said something to me. He was very kind to point out. He said, Dad, I hit my first homer at a younger age than when you hit your first homer. He was so happy to point that out to me. And I said to him, buddy, I said, I am so glad you did. And I said, I hope that you are better, bigger, stronger, smarter, more intelligent, more godly, and an overall better person than me. I want that for all my kids, to be better than me. Don't you all want that? Wouldn't you give anything for your kids? And I just think about my daughter, how I want to treat her with love and respect. I would never mistreat her or harm her or hurt her. And I think about how Boaz first addresses Ruth. I mean, Ruth is in this new country, not understanding what's going to happen to her that night. And the first things that Boaz calls her that night is, my daughter. Is that Boaz's way of saying, you're safe? It's okay. And so here's a message to the guys out here. When you look at a woman, just remember this. That woman, however old she is, or that girl, however old she is someone's daughter. And more importantly, God's daughter. Wouldn't the world be a better place if we all looked at each other as God's sons and daughters? If whenever you saw somebody else, you said, that's a child of God. Yeah, but they're really annoying, right? But there's something going on in their life that makes them annoying, and maybe they need to be loved, and God is looking down on that person and loves that person. You know, that's how we should be looking at each other instead of letting our sinfulness get in the way of things. And so I just love the way Boaz interacts with her. And Boaz makes very certain that she leaves before the sun comes up because he doesn't want her to have a bad reputation. That's a godly man that does that. It's just a beautiful story as I think about it. And then you see in verse 15, he also said, bring me the shawl you were wearing and hold it out. When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. And there he is, kindness. We talked about kindness in chapter 2. There's even more kindness being poured out on Ruth. Here is a guy who doesn't think of this woman as an object. He thinks about her as a beloved sister, as a daughter, as a member of the family that he's going to provide for. This is a top-notch guy. And so is Ruth, top-notch woman here, godly, righteous person. And we see here that Boaz does things the right way. And, you know, as I've told you, as we look through the Old Testament, as we look through the whole Bible, it all points to Christ. You see, we are the bride of Christ. Boaz is giving us an example of how a husband, how a groom should act. And he is pointing ahead to Jesus, who's a better Boaz. He is our kinsman redeemer. He has bought us back from the grave. He has paid the price. And Boaz points us to Christ. And even if he doesn't know Jesus' name yet, because Jesus hasn't come into the world, he is acting in a Christ-like way here. And he is honoring God with his decisions. So the big point I want to give you today is that God honors people who make godly decisions. And sometimes the godly decision is the hard decision. It's not taking the easy way. It's making your life more difficult. But God honors that. God honors people who don't follow their impulses and urges and don't think about what's going to give them temporary satisfaction, but instead look at eternal blessing over that. And, you know, I think about Ruth and Boaz's great-grandson, David. David made some good decisions, of course, of his life as king. He also made some bad ones. And I think about the night he looked down or the day he looked down on another roof of another building and saw Bathsheba, a young woman. And his impulse and his urge took over. And if you read the rest of that story, if you read 1 and 2 Samuel, you will see things. And one bad decision just leads to so much pain for so many people. But a godly decision leads to blessing for hundreds of years, blessing for eternity. So here's bringing it all together and talking about it. We can take the cultural stuff out of it, and hopefully you've gotten your mind around this a little bit. And I don't want to come down on Naomi too hard. She was trying to do the right thing. I think she told Ruth to do it in the wrong way. I think there could have been a better way to do this. But in the end, God worked through these two godly people. But here's what I would encourage you to do. When you look at other people, look at them the way God does. This is my child. And I was reading through Hebrews chapter 11, and you may have read that passage. It's called the Faith Hall of Fame. And it lists all the people who stepped out in faith and did the godly thing, even though it was difficult. And at the end of the chapter, it says the world was not worthy of them. I want that to be said about me. The world was not worthy of me. Because I don't live for the world. I live for the kingdom of God. I want to be worthy in God's eyes. I want to focus on Him. I want to do the things that please Him. And I want to honor Him. whatever the world says. And if this were a Hollywood movie, the story would have gone different when Ruth showed up. Something different would have happened. Something very worldly would have happened. But these people don't belong to the world. They belong to the Lord. They belong to the kingdom of heaven. And so do we. And that's why we do things that honor God. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this beautiful book of Ruth. And I thank you for all the wonderful things you've taught us in it. And Lord, I pray that in all things, we would do the right thing, the righteous thing, the godly thing, the thing that pleases you the most. We would not be so much dependent on our own urges, impulses, and sinful actions, Lord, that we would focus on you, that we would trust in you, and that we would honor you in everything we do. We pray this in Jesus' name.